You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Welcome to From the Black Hole, episode 35. Today's episode is our NASL wrap-up. We welcome Ryan and Kendra, both members of Stony Monday Riot, an Ottawa FC supporters group, and Dallas Walker, member of ESG, the FC Edmonton supporters group, to talk about their seasons. Okay, we're here to do our NASL wrap-up, and part one of our NASL wrap-up is going to focus on the Ottawa Fury, whose season just ended yesterday with a 1-1 draw, and it's been interesting watching these guys. Jeff and I managed to get out to Ottawa in the midst of our Eastern, soccer-related holiday. Is that what you would call it, Jeff?
Yeah, I guess. It was part of our patriotic duty.
That's right. And it was a fun time. Fun to see. Got to hang out with guys from Stony Monday Riots and
Bytown Boys.
Yeah. So that was enjoyable as well. And I was pretty encouraged with what I saw there just from a fan standpoint and the whole supporters section and everything. It looked like you guys had things well in hand. But anyway, joining us today, we've got Ryan and Kendra.
Hello.
Also do their own podcast with a couple other guys, some crazy German fellow and another guy. I'm being facetious, of course.
Ours is the Fury, of course, yes.
Ours is the Fury, also on Red Nation Online. And I believe you guys are going to have some of your own post-game analysis and season wrap-up coming up very shortly in the next couple of days. Is that right?
We recorded a podcast today. It's mostly focused on the last game in Fort Lauderdale, but 2 weeks from now we're going to do a year-end special after we know who the champions are and go through the whole league.
All right, well, there you go. Okay, well, we'll throw some stuff. I don't want to steal your guys' thunder too much from that next podcast that's coming up, but let's get to some basics about the inaugural season of the Fury and what you saw and how you think things are going there. And we can just talk in general terms and we'll see where that leads, I think. Okay, do you guys want to flip a coin, Ryan and Kendra, to see who gets to answer first, or do you care?
You can answer first.
Yeah, Kendra's giving me a look here, so.
Oh, she's giving you.
Yeah, she's giving me a look.
There's probably a whole series of those, hey?
Yeah, I know what they all mean, and most of them are not good.
A silent language.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it's like the language of fans or something like that. That's probably too obscure of a reference. It's a book, right? Anyway, what do you think of the season overall, Ryan? What do you think of the season overall?
I thought it was a good building point. Dos Santos, he had an interview after the game last night, and he said, now the baby's born, and the baby's learning to walk, or something to that extent. So, we got the foundations there. We're going to see a little bit of player turnover probably next year, but this franchise is off to a good start. Everyone's feeling pretty good about it around the city.
Yeah, I'd say about the same thing. We were talking about it today, just kind of things are developing and they were trying to be pretty consistent with everything this year just to kind of have the good foundation for next year. And like Ryan just said, there will be some player turnover. So when those new players do come in, they can kind of adjust to the system as quickly as possible so that, the chemistry can continue and everything becomes even more gelling and everyone's playing together kind of thing. So yeah, so far I'm happy with the season. I think it went okay for our first season.
What was your guys' highlight of the season?
Highlight of the season, of the whole season, spring
whole
and
season.
Fall?
Spring and
when
fall,
you guys
yeah,
came to visit, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was...
oh, no, that's what you wanted to hear. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you are on our big show.
Yeah,
so you gotta kiss our rosary ends a little bit.
On a really big show.
Yeah, really big shoe. No, seriously, what was the... Besides, of course, us, you know, joining you guys in the supporter section, what were your highlights?
I have two highlights. The first highlight was at Carleton before our new stadium was finished. And it was actually when Ubi Parapovich scored his first goal. For me, that was a really cool moment because he was working really hard and I felt that he kind of deserved to get something from like all of his hard work. So that was a really fun moment for me. And it came like in a really good moment in the game where they really needed a lift. And it kind of did that and everybody was really excited. And then the second, my second favorite moment was in TD Place, a brand new stadium, when we got our first win at home. And like the players came over to kind of thank the fans. And,
against Atlanta.
Yeah, against Atlanta. And everybody just like was really happy together, like all the fans together, and the players just looked like incredibly happy and we were really proud of them. So that was my other favorite moment.
Yeah, I think seeing the team walk on the field for the first time in an actual league game and attending a Voyagers Cup game in my own city, it means a lot to have that competition in a city that I live in. But as far as goal scoring and all that, there was a game, sorry, it's against Edmonton. Tommy Heinemann, he got a header at the death, and I think it was his first game, like first regular season game for us, and it was the last game of the fall season, and he scored right at the end, and he came over right in front of the supporters section and fist in the air, and the section was going crazy, and it was in the smaller stadium, the Carleton, at 3,000 seaters, so it was quite the energy that day.
And that's awesome that you mentioned that, because same thing. I can't wait until a Voyagers Cup match is held in Saskatoon, you know? I still have that little dream that this little prairie city can somehow step out of the dark ages and join the rest of the world when it comes to sporting events. And
we're just waiting for you to start the team, Jeff.
Yeah, I know.
And you're being a little bit tardy with it, I have to say. I'm disappointed.
I can't wait until all the Saskatoon Athletic FC supporters get to punch the faces of Queen City FC out of Regina.
You're not going to punch our faces, Jeff, for you to punch me in the face, you'd have to jump about 18 inches off the ground.
Yeah, that's fine. So I'd make it. I'd be like Tommy Heinemann and I'd just fist in the air.
Yeah, you could jump, reach up and belt me in the knee. Maybe. So back on topic. So, I mean, let's stick with the on the field stuff for a minute, and we'll go to off the field stuff in a second. What did you see as challenges that were on the field? I mean, it was a bit of an up and down season, but there was some success on the field. But what were the difficulties that the team had? Maybe you can start this off, Ryan, this time.
For the spring season, I think the biggest challenges were injured right off the start. You know, Nicky Patterson was injured. Even Ryan Ritchie had a bit of injury. So we're missing a lot of the key players that, you know, we're really looking forward to seeing. Later on, what became apparent was our lack of offense, like a lack of finishing, I should say. So we'd have these amazing build-ups, and then there'd be the final cross, and then nothing would come of it. Like, it'd always end up, like, at the feet of the defender of the other team. So I think that's something that's going to be addressed in the off season.
Yeah. I think also another big challenge, obviously being just a first year team, was chemistry and trying to figure out who was going to work together with who. And I remember, I think it was in the beginning of the fall season, I asked a player, like, are you guys happy with, or maybe it was DeSantos, maybe I asked DeSantos, like, are you guys happy with the lineup that you have now? And do you have players playing in the positions that you want them to be playing? And he said no. And that was just because they hadn't quite figured out, like, the chemistry of who would be playing with whom, kind of thing. And so that was a little bit of a struggle trying to figure out what the best combinations were and like who really had that chemistry together and who couldn't work together, that kind of thing.
So with that in mind, then what are the pieces that need to be improved for next season?
Well, I think like my opinion will be maybe different than I think everyone has like their own opinion about what needs to change. One thing that a colleague of ours tonight said was the midfield needs to be faster and the transition game needs to be a lot faster. And we need to break out of our zone quicker. So if we could get one or two speedier midfielders, I think that would change the team.
Like greatly. centrally or on the wings? Where are we looking?
Both, frankly.
Both? So yeah, basically both, just straight up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have one or two midfielders that I would love to see stick around. But we do need to bring in a couple more guys that are a bit faster.
I think a little bit more experience would be kind of nice as well. Like, we have some really young guys, which is awesome, but sometimes they seem a little bit too excited and kind of run around with not quite as much focus as maybe a more experienced player would. So that would be nice to see as well.
Players that are experienced with the league, with the NASL, not necessarily, you know, 36-year-old Europeans.
Oh, no, everybody loves their 36-year-old Europeans.
Yeah. Especially the New York Cosmos. They love their 38-year-old Europeans.
Yeah, 38-year-old, yeah. Can you believe they signed him?
Did they test that he can run still?
I must be able to.
They're going to roll him out in like the 89th minute in a wheelchair and just kind of lift him up and pop him onto the field. And then he'll turn around and wave and everybody will go crazy and he'll sell lots of tickets. And...
Yeah.
We're talking about Raul, by the way.
You're Raul, yeah, of course. We're talking about Raul. I'm kidding, of course.
There are suddenly going to be a bunch of Raul New York Cosmos jerseys popping up just randomly in cities across North America because he is a guy with a name. Like, he's a legend, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People know him.
Yeah,
I don't know. This is off the topic, but the whole retiring and not going out that gracefully, it can be kind of an embarrassment sometimes. You know, like you should have retired 3 years ago, but you're going to give it one more kick and you just look terrible.
Yeah, you kind
like
of
it wouldn't quit. It be? Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah, exactly. The secret is knowing when to stop. Wouldn't it be embarrassing for him? I would say, if. He rolls out there and he's not even competitive. He's not even at the level of NASL. That would, I mean, these guys have egos. That would be a significant ego bruise, one would think. But anyway, I digress. I want to actually get, who cares about Raul and these kinds of players? No, seriously.
What? This podcast is made just simply by you saying the word Raul.
it's not quite as good as Kamal Hilton saying Simeon Jackson, which was one of the funniest moments of my life.
Yeah, same here.
Simeon Jackson. Anyway, that was rich. That was absolutely rich. Yeah. Anyway, I want to ask you too about the Canadian content on the team. And how you think we did, or how you think they did. We had we were very lucky to be able to talk at length with Drew Becky before the season started. He was on the podcast and we had a good probably half hour with him. And he seemed pumped and excited and he got lots of minutes, but he's not the only Canadian that showed a lot on the field for you guys. What do you think about their contribution? Are they going to stick around? And what do you think we'll see from them going forward?
Well, Mason Trafford has already re-signed with the club, so he'll be here for next year for sure. And he played every game. He didn't play every minute, but he played every single game. And he's been pretty solid on defense. So that was pretty great to see. And then, of course, Drew Becky as well played quite a few minutes and partnered really well with Mason. So that was really good. Then we have like some young guys. We have Ustakio, who started the very last game yesterday, and he's been playing on and off as a sub. And we have up front, we have Davies, who is a bit younger, and also Mayard, who I think is like 21.
He was actually in the Impact program.
Yes.
Before.
Yeah,
right.
Pierre Rudolph Maillard, yeah.
Yeah. So, there's some guys, some younger guys, I'd like to see get some minutes from the Academy that I thought would get some minutes in the last game. And there's still no Academy, like, program as far as, like, we don't have a League One Ontario team or even a team in the... We could put a team in the Premier League of Quebec as where we are physically.
Mm-hmm. Well, FC Gatineau is just right there across the river, so...
Right, which the two clubs, they don't work together at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's kind of strange. I would like to see them work together. It seemed like a perfect relationship. But even if they put a second team in the Quebec League, like, I think it's a possibility. Or have a League One Ontario team. I'd really like to see that for the development of the young Canadians.
They could get the guy who owned the Egyptian dude who owned Hull City, and he could finally have his Hull Tigers.
Yeah, we'll take your Hull City Tigers. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can call us the Cardiff Dragons if you want. Whatever.
Yeah.
But Dos Santos said over and over, he's like, "Oh, we don't want to have Canadians for the sake of Canadians," and he kind of makes these kind of veiled threats, you know, against Soccer Canada. And I don't know if you guys heard out there, but there was a bit of a kerfuffle when the Santos, like, called out the national team, saying, how come you don't even call us? How you don't come look at our plate, this kind of thing.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and it is a priority for him. And he cares passionately, you can tell, about Canadian soccer.
Yeah.
But he's... I don't think any of the Canadians that we have on our team, I think he's right, though. They're not here just because they fill roster spots. Like, he could fill those roster spots with Americans and get away with it.
Yeah, like, Davies is really versatile. They've been playing him all over the place, and he does quite well in pretty much every position I've seen him play.
Yeah, and Trafford, I think, among the people on our podcast, we kind of universally agree he's our best player on the team.
Mason Trafford?
He's from North Vancouver.
Yeah, North Vancouver, yeah.
Yeah, and he's been like a rock back there in the line. So the only player I wasn't impressed with was Maillard, because he was so unfocused and all over the place. Like, he'd be running up and down the left side constantly and half the time offside. And you're just wondering what the heck he was doing out there. But I think... we've done really well with our Canadians, but we could always have more and do better. And that's what I'd like to see. I'd prefer to see the Fury develop more Canadians next year than they have this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. Just hearing what's been going on in Edmonton, there's a certain sentiment that that's what they would like as well. And I find it interesting that you guys and the Edmonton supporters, there's almost like a non-rivalry there in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is my awkward segue into talking about the off-field, the more fan-focused stuff. But I thought it was interesting, you know, just some of the banter just seems to be more mutually supportive. Hey, we're the only two teams in NASL in Canada, rather than, you know, we hate you guys and want to beat you all the time.
There's a little of that, too.
Is there?
Well, no.
Not really.
Not a lot.
There's, like, we like to joke, like, there's a whole East-West thing, and we have to put in a full disclaimer here. We're both Westerners, so.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, coming, when Edmonton comes to town, it's hard to cheer, you know, against them, but we do. And, but the team we really hate here is the New York Cosmos.
Are they your main rival?
I think they got under our skin, like, the players and the fans the most.
Right.
Well, that's interesting.
Because it's funny, because I've gone to a number of FC Edmonton games, all in the spring season, and is Fort Lauderdale, are the Strikers the team with those hideous yellow-orange or yellow-brown hooped jerseys?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say that Fort Lauderdale has a better rivalry with Edmonton than any other team. Just from having gone to the games in the spring season, like... you talk to any of the guys that are members of the ESG, it seems, and they downright despise Fort Lauderdale. So it's interesting how that works, eh?
Yeah, it's small league, you know, 10 teams.
Yeah.
Hopefully growing, though, because there's another two that should be coming on board next year, right?
Another one for sure, Jacksonville.
Yeah. Jacksonville, yeah.
Oklahoma, there's been no news, but
yeah,
they also might be losing Atlanta. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, incredible how they just totally bottomed out. You look at the standings, and Atlanta went from, what were they? They were like fifth in the league, and now they're 10th and well behind even Indy. Mm-hmm. So
let's speaking of the whole fan thing, I mean, Jeff and I are, of course, very interested all the time in the supporters situation. And so, first of all, in general, and you guys can both speak to this if you'd like, it's tough to build a fan base from scratch. So talk about the fan base in general, and then talk about how the whole supporters culture and that side of it went in Ottawa and what that you think that's going to look like in the upcoming seasons.
Yeah, in general, you know, not overly excited, but not disappointed. I think they average a little over 5,000 fans, but that's inflated because we had the one game that was 14,000.
Right.
And then also we had a bunch of games at a stadium that only holds 3,200 or 3,100.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So averaging 5,000 is not bad with those two considerations. Word's still not out in the city, really. It's still not. Like, you'll see a little bit of stuff in bars, and you'll hear people talking a little bit, but it's never front page news. It's never on people's tongues, like, everywhere. And I still run into soccer people who don't know we have a pro team in the city, like people who play soccer, like,
really?
You know, in a men's league or co-ed league.
So why is that? I mean, there could be a number of factors. What are the factors that contribute to that?
I think a lack of television. I think it's a big thing. I don't understand this league and why they can't get their act together when there's all these sports channels in Canada and the US showing like reruns of old games when they could be showing these games live.
Yeah, like Sportsnet World, which I pay $15 for, I think, a month through Shaw. Half the time they're playing classic English Premier League games.
Yeah, or rugby from who knows where.
Yeah. I'm okay with the rugby because there's rugby fans out there, and I mean they get their time.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But still, when they're playing like classic English Premier League matches, which really are actually mostly from the last 3 or 4 years, it's just kind of like, holy smokes, really? They can't even make a deal with FC Edmonton and Ottawa to, you know, get something on those channels at least, even if they're played after the fact. At least those games get on, right?
Yeah.
Well, and then TSN has 5 channels.
Yeah.
And often 4 of them are playing the same thing, and sometimes it's like full tilt poker.
Yeah. Our Canadian TV.
Darts.
Yeah, darts. Premier League,
Premier League darts.
On 4 channels.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No. Well, the other thing is like it hasn't really made it into the like the news reports of sports, like on CBC, the local CBC news sports. They'll just say like, oh yeah, and the Ottawa Fury tied Fort Lauderdale 1-1, and that's it. When they'll usually like say a few sentences about the other teams, it's just kind of like an afterthought almost when it's being reported. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
See, I'm really curious, and I wonder, like, I don't even know if it's possible to research, but I want to like do research myself on what makes, you know, the sports editor's decisions to only say one sentence about a team that's in a pro league, you know, and it happens. It still happens, like even with the MLS sides, you'll get 30 seconds of highlights out of TSN, and then you'll get 5 minutes of in-depth coverage of, you know, what the Oilers ate for breakfast. So,
yeah, which is funny because TSN has the big MLS contract right now. Right?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You think they'd be promoting, you know,
heavily
something that they sell?
So
what about the supporters section and how that all went this year? I know there were some growing pains there, but it also sounded like it was a lot of fun and you guys were starting to draw people in a little bit each game.
Yeah, at first it was a little bit, when we moved over to TD Place, it was a little bit chaotic at first. There was a few things that happened that we were not impressed with from the club side, but and I think because there's a couple of supporters groups, we weren't really sure how it would work on game day, like, you know, who would sing what song and things like that, but it kind of got worked out in the end. And I mean, we both sing each other's songs now and stuff like that. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you guys finally, you guys are starting to slowly but surely have the
collision.
Yeah. Collision and everything. Well, that's good, because I remember when Rob and I were there, and we pulled. I remember, like, I pulled.
Well, we pulled two sides together. We kind of purposefully placed ourselves right in between.
In between,
almost as like a song conduit.
Yeah. It was. It honest to God, it was.
We were gonna try and whenever somebody we'd pick up on whatever one of you guys was chanting, and we'd try and transfer it down to the other end or up or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it worked or not, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I mean, everybody was getting plastered in the section, and then all of a sudden, a bunch of like randoms saw that we were doing the bounce and that we were just having a good time, and they came over, and like one guy who was really drunk tried to run the drum line and was just super incompetent, but he was having a blast. So we just left him alone.
That kind of happens still. Yeah.
That's good. You know, you need that. That's good. Cause that's, you know, hopefully those guys eventually like come in and just want to learn about it and you know, become like a full-timer type thing.
Yeah, so. And the club also has been a little bit better at kind of saying things like, you know, the section is standing room only, you can kind of go over there, and people have been joining from other sections, so that's mm-hmm. good too. And like the word has gotten out that, you know, what a supporter section is, because I think that was another thing, like at the very beginning people didn't know what it was, and
I think it was a shock culturally to Ottawa.
Yeah.
You'd get these bemused looks looking over going, what are they doing?
Yeah, exactly. Are people coming over and saying, are you paid by the club to stand during the games and make noise? And I was like, no.
Why do you have a drum?
So, but, you know, it wasn't without its hiccups. I think the first game at TD Place, the game you're at, was probably the most chaotic. Well, and the Rangers game against Glasgow Rangers, because it's a standing section. And the first few games, families were coming, sitting there, getting cheap tickets because they're $2 cheaper or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was chaos. And then the club did a really good job at, you know, relocating people, letting them know it's a standing section. And then towards the end of the year, it was pretty much full of all standing people that were at games before and they knew what was going on. And overall, it was pretty good. Like, we had a couple things. There was Bon Jovi Gate. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
I heard that apparently they were, like, trying to sell Bon Jovi tickets a whole year in advance.
No. That's One Direction. That's happening.
That's
right
One
now.
Direction. Okay.
Yeah. But,
what's Bon Jovi Gate?
Bon Jovi Gate, they're playing Bon Jovi, like, during the game over the loudspeakers.
Oh, wow.
That's awful.
Yeah. And there was, like, backlash. Even like players on the team and the coach like said things in the paper how terrible that was. So
yeah they must have felt like they were living on a prayer.
Yes, living on a prairie.
I think so.
Living on a prairie, that's right. Yeah. That's what we are.
Yeah. You know, it's incredible how team like that kind of crap, you know, will is tried in like Mickey Mouse leagues like the CMISL and stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody there hates it. And then teams like the Fury would try it after seeing how it's failed everywhere else, and they'd still try it. That bends my mind. There's some moron marketing guy making these stupid decisions because he or she is so totally out of the loop when it comes to how, you know, live soccer events work that, ugh, gotta hunt these ones down and, like, make it like the Hunger Games. We can put marketers out against each other.
There's some good examples of that. There was a marketing person they had, and he met with us, and he's like, yeah, I went to a Portland Timbers match, and they all stand, and they do this song, oh, 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 and everyone in the room just cringed, like, yes, we know what the...
Yeah.
And he was just like, it was like all new to him, and he was and he's in charge of, like, you know, fan experience. And there was also... the same guy, he does this for the CFL team, the Red Blacks. And the Red Blacks, they cut a piece of wood now every time they score a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big. You mean Big Joe? Big Joe Muffera.
Yeah. So we wonder where they got that from. But.
Yeah.
I've said this to other people, but I just have to say Big Joe and like at being a longtime Rider fan and all of a sudden or all that and Gainer the Gopher and whatnot being an awesome mascot, I don't really care. Big Joe Muffera. Best mascot name in Canada. It really is. It absolutely is. Like, it's a Stompin' Tom song, right?
Yeah.
Whoever thought of that was genius. they deserve, I don't know, a tip of the hat.
They deserve to play Bon Jovi over the loudspeakers at Fury
matches. No one deserves
that. No, don't say that.
No, they don't deserve that.
Hey, one sort of kind of a side note topic question here. Do you guys miss Carlton Stadium at all? Is there anything about that stadium you guys miss?
I miss being so close together, like, because it was so small, it was kind of more, everyone was closer together, and I think closer to the pitch, it seemed like, too. Mm-hmm. And things, like, I don't know, acoustics-wise, it seemed, you know, louder for some reason?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's more intimate. There's things I don't miss.
Yeah.
Having to buy tickets and then finding someone to exchange those tickets for beer.
Yeah, we had to get bracelets also for beer, so it was like you were at a festival where you had a beer bracelet, and then you had to get tickets, and then you had to get the beer. Yeah.
Wow.
And of course, security was a school security, and they're pretty aggressive.
Idea. Yeah.
But a lot of people have said that they miss Carlton. A lot of people in the supporters groups have said that they miss Carlton.
Do they say any specific reasons, or more or less same thing you guys were saying?
Yeah, it was like we're all packed in the corner, and like when we'd score goals, everyone would run down like five rows and
nice.
Yeah, that whole thing. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of more wild.
It was easier to move around because there was no chairs. It was like bleachers, so it was kind of easier to, you know, move around.
Yeah,
and more pyrotechnics. So.
Nice. Do they allow you guys to have flares or anything in Section W?
No.
Not officially.
Not officially.
So it's one of those kind of things right now. And they brought their own, like the team brought their own smoke, which we kind of laugh about. But you kind of like, oh, good, they're trying. But I think next year you'll see a more normal soccer atmosphere in Ottawa.
Well, it sounds like there's already a bit of a good foundation for that. And you guys have laid it. To be honest, it sounds like that's where you kind of know where you're going because the base is started to form quite nicely.
Yeah, I think the Bytown Boys being active for 2 years before the club was here was a big help.
Right.
Was a big, big part of the culture being known. And also the Fury Ultras, who are mostly former Impact Ultras that happen to live in Ottawa now.
Yeah.
And they brought a lot of drumming and expertise in areas. Mm-hmm. So it's good.
There you go.
Definitely.
Hey, well, one thing to say for sure is don't let them try and move you guys out of your section. If they come up with some idea where they're going to put you guys in behind the goal or take you away from being beside like the main part of the crowd, don't let them do it. Because I remember seeing that whole freak out that Bytown had on Facebook, because everything Bytown does seems to be on Facebook. Where they're trying to move you guys from Section W to, like, what was it, the other side of the field or whatever?
Yeah, it would have been the other side, where kind of in the corner.
And more on TV, I think, was a part of the idea as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Don't let them do it, because you guys can pull more people out of the general sections, like the scene sections, into your section that way.
That was one of our arguments too, was saying like nobody's gonna come over if we're over there.
Yeah.
It's a long walk.
And what's nice is at the end of the games, the groups have started this thing as a what is it, Southside Stand Up?
Oh yeah, Southside Stand Up.
So like the last couple minutes of the game, they'll get the whole stadium, the supporter section will get the rest of the stadium to stand up and cheer for the last 2 minutes.
Nice.
Which that's is really awesome. Something. If you know anything about Ottawa sports, that's really amazing.
That's a lot of participation.
Yeah, that's a lot of participation there.
That'd be a real rush, too.
Have you guys been approached by the Senators yet? Because I know that the guys in the south side were approached by the Canucks after the guys in the south side started going to Canucks games and like taking it the very, very top level section to basically have a supporter section and then getting escorted out of the arena. When that whole thing blew up, all of a sudden the Canucks became their best friends, and now they get approached by the Canucks to come fill sections for every game, hey? So have you guys been approached by the Senators yet?
We haven't been approached. There is a Senator supporters group called the Red Scarf Union, and there is some crossover there between the soccer and hockey supporters groups.
Yeah.
But they've started a thing. They're only doing it at certain games. but it's a supporters section at the Senators games. Hmm. And they sell the tickets cheaper. I think they're $30, which is pretty inexpensive for the Senators.
Yeah, no kidding.
And, yeah, and they're trying the supporters section thing. So
nice.
We'll see how that works out. The whole problem we all know with the Senators is access to alcohol and being 45 minutes away from downtown.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's way out there, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to drive to the game and drive back. So.
Yeah. Well, let me fire just one last question at you guys, and then we can let you get on with your day.
Cool.
So it's the off season coming up. From a fan and supporter perspective, what are you hoping for, looking for, interested in doing in the off season?
I was just saying last night, like, I'm going to go into fury withdrawal. I don't know. I think with the supporters section, like Stony Monday Riot, we'll still get together periodically just to kind of, you know, because we, apart from being a supporter section, we actually really like each other. So we kind of miss seeing each other at stadiums. So we're going to get together periodically and just kind of like hang out and, you know, kind of get our group together and get some ideas going for the off season or for the next season, and, you know, make flags, make banners, stuff like that. I don't know what else.
Yeah. What I'm looking forward to is, just seeing some more players come. And the management was saying that they're going to have 2 weeks off, and then they're just going around the world searching for players. And it sounds like something similar they did last year.
Right.
Last year, we learned that Dos Santos was in Portugal. He was in Brazil. He was in England. He was all over the world, like physically in these places. And he was on the phone calling guys from all over the world, from Uruguay. He brought guys in from, I think, every continent but Australia.
Wow.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... he's that kind of guy, hardworking guy. So I'm really keen on seeing the off-season transactions. That's what I'm most looking forward to.
Excellent. Well, I got to say congratulations on an inaugural year. It was a good year. It was reasonably good on the pitch. Even it seems to be good for fan support, and you guys looks like you're building something that's going to be lasting, and that's the important thing, I think.
Yeah, and in the expansion team battle, you guys did finish ahead of Indy in the end, so.
Yeah, and goal differential.
Yes. Yeah.
Pretty tied on points, but yeah. Goal differential. But we didn't get ahead of some club called FC Edmonton. They beat us by 10 points, actually.
So. Yeah. They went on a run, didn't they? Oh, boy. Just good about run. Made it, too. Yeah.
Yeah, almost.
All right, well, we'll look forward to seeing the Fury in the NASL playoffs next year, right?
Yeah,
it'll be FC Edmonton,
yeah,
New York Cosmos, Minnesota United, and Ottawa Fury.
And Ottawa Fury, of course.
Yeah.
All right, you heard it here first.
Yeah. Not Fort Lauderdale, though, because their jerseys are too goddamn ugly to constitute being a real team, so. And by that time, David Beckham will probably have bought them after he's given up on Miami, so.
We can only hope.
A little quick interjection in our NASL wrap-up that we want to talk about, Jeff wants to talk about. I haven't seen the game yet, but there was an Interprovincial Cup game today as well. We're recording this segment on Sunday, November 2nd.
It was yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday. Okay, yeah. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
And Ryan and Kendra were also on today, which is Sunday, September 2nd. So this is going to be delayed for a few days before our stuff gets out. Anyway, do you want to talk about that Interprovincial Cup game and what you saw there? Because, of course, those of us who are interested in the development of Canadian soccer are kind of watching these new high-caliber leagues, developmental leagues in Ontario and Quebec quite closely. What did you see at that in that game between... the Ontario champion. It was the Ontario champion, Quebec champion, correct?
Yeah. So the League One Ontario champion was TFC Academy, and the Quebec Soccer Premier League champion was CS Longueuil, which is Club de Soccer de Longueuil. I think they're out of. I want to say they're out of Montreal, but I honestly don't know. I did not research that. Didn't get that deep into it. But anyway, first thing that why I was so keen on wanting to check this out is because this is, I think, the sort of first glimpse at what a pan-Canadian Division III is going to look like. The League One Ontario is going to be the Ontario region version of the Canadian D3 League. The Quebec Soccer Premier League is going to be the Quebec region D3 League. Hopefully there will be one for the entire Maritimes. Hopefully there will be one for us out here in the Prairie Provinces, so your Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. And then BC kind of already has, or they're at least working on the BC Youth Premier League. I can't remember if it exists already or if they're kind of working on its framework and how it's going to work. But anyway, so this Interprovincial Cup is so it's been around for a long, long, long time. Like, this Interprovincial Cup was played way back in, like, the early part of the 20th century between the pro champion from Ontario against the pro champion or semi-pro, whatever you want to call it back in the day, from Quebec. And usually it was a team from Toronto against a team from Montreal. And they would play a home leg in Toronto and a home leg in Montreal and, you know, went back and forth. Like, it was actually a decently big deal way back in the day. So it's really neat that they've brought it back and that they're using it as a cup between, like a challenge cup, essentially between the two league champions. So it's really neat to see this now. It gives me hope that if they're able to do this and keep it stable within Ontario and Quebec, and then eventually lay the groundwork for what will happen in the Maritimes, Prairies and BC as well. We'll see basically the way the CHL operates is that this Interprovincial Cup could evolve into the trophy for the evolve into the national trophy for this new Canadian Division III League, you know, which will be, of course, the precursor to Canadian Division I A, which is, I think, a lot of our sort of main dream in everything. So yeah, it's just really neat. I'm really glad that they recorded the game. It was shown on RDS. So this home leg, the Quebec home leg was shown on RDS. So it was on the French TSN, which was pretty cool. And they recorded the whole game. You can watch it on YouTube. Rob, do you want me to ruin the score for you?
Go right ahead, because I don't even know if I'm going to have time to watch it anytime soon. So I want to watch it. It's just a matter of finding the time to shoehorn it in.
Yeah. So this, the first leg was in Quebec. It was the home leg for Longueuil in this case, and TFC Academy destroyed them. It was 4-0. Could have easily been 8-10. You could tell in the latter part.
8 to 10 goals for TFC Academy. Not the score line was 8-10.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's what I mean. It easily could have been 8 or 10-0. The Quebec, so it was interesting. The whole match is in, all the commentary was in French, right? They had John Limniadis along with some guy I've never seen before. But John Limniadis, of course, of Montreal Impact fame, was the sort of the color commentator, but, TFC Academy was running the game so commandingly that the guy just basically had an interview with John Limniadis throughout the entire game. Jeez. It was 2-0 within the first 5 minutes of the game.
Wow.
And it should have been 3 because TFC Academy scores within the first minute of the game. Then they win a penalty in the second minute and it gets saved. And then in the fifth minute, they score a second. And so it could have been 3-0 within the first 5 minutes of the game. That's how lopsided it was. And one really neat or one really important comment that he made, which I fully agree with, is TFC Academy, along with a couple of the other teams in League One Ontario, are proper academies. They train every day, every other day, if not every day. And so there is a huge, huge gap between the quality of top-level youth soccer in Quebec compared to top-level youth soccer in Ontario. And Limianis also said that he hopes that clubs like Longueuil and Gatineau, FC Gatineau is another one, which Ryan made reference to in our chat with him and Kendra about the Fury. But he hopes that these teams formalize and become proper academies that train every day. Because the difference in organization on the pitch between TFCA and SC or CS Longueuil was night and day, completely night and day. Longueuil looked panicked constantly. TFC Academy was able to pressure them constantly and win the ball in key areas on the pitch. I mean, if you looked at, if you counted it through the game, there were probably at least a dozen, if not more, turnovers by Longueuil to TFCA in Longueuil's half, midfield half. And, wow. And it was rough. I don't know if they went into it thinking that they were going to be able to keep up with them, but there was just, I think TFC's keeper, who a name escapes me, had to make one save in the entire match. And it didn't come until the first minute of added time in the second half.
Wow.
Off of a free kick. It was super lopsided. Super lopsided. But still, nonetheless, I mean, hopefully they can show up in the home leg, which I think is being played at Downsview in Toronto. Because I think they've erected the bubble or the one artificial pitch in Downsview. So that's probably where that game will be. Maybe they'll play it at BMO Field. I don't know if BMO Field is still playable because I think they got a bunch of snow out there.
Yeah, but they've got the turf heating system underneath. So
yeah,
to be able to thaw it, shouldn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what their kind of cutoff point for temperature is.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think it's cold enough yet. They can probably get away with it, but still, anyway. It's just good to see. You know, I'm sad for the Quebec side because they just got handled. They got straight up handled. TFCA is going to probably maul them in Toronto. But I'm glad that this is happening. And I hope that there's cooperation between the two leagues so that this continues to happen, and not only amicably, but that they can grow off of each other. You know what I mean? And hopefully the CSA has a firm hand in how things evolve and starts talking with the other, with the provincial heads in the Maritimes and in the Prairies about creating a formalized D3 regional league. So that's going to be really important.
Okay, welcome back. We took a little break. We actually took a little break between recording the first bit that you just heard and this bit. It's a few days later. We're still on our NASL wrap-up, but we've moved across the country. We're talking about Edmonton now and how the Eddies did with their season, which is pretty interesting towards the end. And we've got Dallas Walker with us of ESG. Welcome, Dallas.
Cheers.
I think how we started off the last one was just to say we talked to some Fury guys prior to this, and it was just to say, to give you a chance to just kind of sum up your reaction to the season, what you thought, anything that comes to mind first off, and then we'll kind of go from there. So what do you think of your season?
It was a pretty good season, actually. A lot better than I expected. Obviously, the spring season didn't really go as well for us. It went pretty slow. But the second half, the fall season, we were probably one of the stronger teams. And, you know, we actually made a push for the playoffs, which didn't really go our way again. But at the same time, we're not really disappointed in how the season went.
What do you think there was a reason for the turnaround? It was dramatic, hey, because, I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know, acrimony, I guess, in the spring season. Lots of people calling for Colin Miller's head and that kind of
Colin
stuff.
Colin
for Colin. I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, wow. It's less like, can you tell me about my father's whereabouts? Right? It was one of those moments.
Yeah.
Colin for Colin Miller's head. Anyway, back on track here. It just didn't seem like it was going well. And all of a sudden, you know, boom, the fall season came and Edmonton made quite a run. What do you credit the turnaround?
for with
well,
whatever.
He did pick up a few guys in during the World Cup break. They all played pretty well. You got Rodalis in there, and they all played pretty well actually. And then for some reason, just the entire team played well. You know, Jones was starting to get better as time goes on, and Lance Lang, the guy was just a machine out there, you know, just like flying down the wing and scoring goals and creating chances. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but, you know, I'm not complaining either.
Yeah. Well, if I can say one thing, I know he won't get it. I doubt he would get it because of the scoring that what's his face for Minnesota United did. But Lance Lang to me is NASL MVP. He completely seemed to turn around FC Edmonton when he started playing out on the in left midfield. Like,
yeah.
Totally different team. It was incredible.
And he's just fast. Like, I actually seen this guy in person. I could say he's probably one of the fastest in the league. And he finished the season with, I think he was in second with assists, actually.
Right. So, you know, considering the turnaround, are you happy that Miller's had his contract extended as coach?
I'm pretty happy, actually. You know, I was pretty tough on him myself, too, like some of the other guys. You know, he just wasn't getting results in the first season. The spring season was the exact same thing. But, you know, sometimes it takes a while to build a team to the way he wants it and get all these new additions to play under his system. So I'm actually pretty confident coming into next year. So
where do you think the Eddies are going to finish in spring season next year? Now that they've picked up some of these pieces and really seem to put things together. And I mean, you know, with a couple of teams like Minnesota United, G San Antonio now I think is another one of them. And the Silverbacks, who might not even exist next year, depending on what happens, you know, kind of aiming for MLS, you know, there's going to be some teams that are going to be starting to, you know, consider their rosters for next year, not so much as for the season, but for a jump to MLS. Where do you see the Eddies finishing up spring season next year?
Well, I hope we finish where we did, or maybe even higher. You know, it's really hard to say. It's really hard.
Because you guys are what, third?
In the fall season, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure on combined. I think we were much lower. But yeah, we finished third in the fall season. So you can see how much we got better in the fall season. So, and even like the first few games in the fall season, we didn't quite have very good games. You know, I know we drew with Ottawa the first game. And so if we keep this going, if you keep the same squad, I think we should do pretty well actually in the spring season. At least I hope for that.
Okay. So let's talk about ESG a little bit. So Edmonton Supporters Group, still the most original named supporters group in all of Canada.
pretty straightforward, I guess, isn't it?
Nobody could confuse you guys for something else, which is great, right?
I'm not going to lie. Considering that the other group that momentarily existed was called the Loyal Company of the River Valley, who we actually had Nathan Trelesky on the podcast quite a while ago. I think that was maybe before – that might even have been NASL preseason when we had Nathan on.
I think that's right, yeah.
You know, considering that, you guys – I have no problem with the fact that you guys are just simply ESG. Like, because Loyal Company, man, that one was so far out of left field. I still am just like, what were they thinking? But
it was a cool name, but it's – or is a cool name or whatever, but it is a mouthful.
Yeah, well
– yeah.
So talk about the evolution of ESG over this season. Have you guys grown? Has the impact on the fan experience in the stadium for you guys gotten more positive when it comes to just the casual fans showing up at games and how you're sort of looked upon or received and you know, what's kind of happened there? I was lucky enough to be able to get out to a whole pile of home fixtures in the spring season, but I wasn't able to get out for any of the fall season because Tommy has them playing on Sundays. So what's kind of happened with ESG?
Well, definitely we are growing slowly. You know, it sucked losing a few guys, especially guys like Nathan and them, you know, who played a pretty big role in ESG. But as the games went on, yes, we did grow. And some new faces coming in this year, you know, guys that I don't even know their names right now at the moment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're definitely getting some more positive feedback, you know, not to meet people complaining about us.
Right, because I mean,
my
I was just going to say, like, last year you guys had, like, fans in the stadium complaining about you guys and stuff, right?
That is true. I know we did tone it down with all the swearing and all that, you know, and sometimes you kind of cross the line with some of our chants, so we've did our best to clean that up.
Yeah.
So we haven't been really getting any complaints except the people that bought their tickets for Section 107 not knowing what to expect. So that was kind of a surprise for them.
Yeah.
That's the same story everywhere, though. You hear that from almost every group, right? They want cheaper. You want cheaper tickets, so you get a soccer team in there who gets cheaper tickets, and suddenly they're just like, you know, 11-year-old girls, and suddenly they're like, what the heck is going on, right? They just have no clue. And it's kind of...
Surprise, right?
No, it's no surprise. It tends to sort itself out over time, though, I think, for most places.
Sorry, what was that again?
It seems to have sorted itself out.
It did, yeah.
Now, what about... go ahead, and then I'll ask my question.
No, like I said, it's been pretty positive feedback. You know, a lot of people are starting to clap to us and, you know, kind of chant, you know, the people in 106 beside us. But you know, basically people are starting to know who we are now, you know, because this is like, what, our fourth season pretty much in this, you know, chanting and in the stands and everything. So, yeah, it's been pretty good feedback on... Yeah, so I could say.
how has the attendance in general been over the course of the season? Did you see an uptick when the team started to play well, or has there just been a general trend where it's been increasing, or has it been kind of the same?
It's been slowly increasing, slowly. I know there's still not a whole lot of marketing going on, but there's been a few more butts in seats. Apparently there's been some games where we've been selling out, you know, that's what they're saying, you know, they're selling tickets, but still not everyone's showing up. Right.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
I guess all that matters is that they're selling tickets, but it doesn't really make a good atmosphere when only half the people show up.
Yeah.
But as from what I can see, and even like rewatching the games on the internet, yeah, you know, they're starting to pack more people in, which is good.
Yeah. It's kind of critical. Hey, I mean, there's this, I don't know if you'd call it a stigma. It's not really a stigma, but there's a bit of a history where Edmonton has had a series of attempts to solidify a soccer team that has kind of fallen through. Right.
Yes.
And I mean, how do you gauge FC Edmonton within that context? Do you think they're solid, or do you think that they're still, you know, a couple years from being solid?
I would give it a couple of years, actually.
So is there still nervousness? Like, are you guys still concerned that this team, one day Tom's just going to hold a press conference and say that FCE just simply is not feasible and wrap it up?
Well, it's always in the back of our minds. We're always pretty worried about that. But I think with Tom was kind of sending a message for, you know, signing Colin Miller for 3 years. You know, obviously it means, I guess, we're having, you know, 3 more years of FC Edmonton. Like, we know he doesn't want to get rid of the team anytime soon. You know, he's pretty focused on FC Edmonton in the future. You know, they're still planning on a new stadium for us as well, too. So I think, you know, despite our low attendance when it comes to the league, I still think, we got a few more years in us, and I don't know, we're not really too worried much now that Millen's been on here for 3 years. I think that's kind of sending a message.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't realize that he'd actually signed that contract for 3 years. That's good to know.
Yeah, it's true of the rest of the staff as well, right? He brought them all back, didn't he?
Yeah, Paulus and all of them. Yeah, they're all here for 3 more years.
You know, I would just want to pick up on that a little bit, because I thought it was really quite fascinating sitting on the sidelines to for a second. Well, let me give a little bit of context here. So in the quarterfinals of the under-20 Women's World Cup, our women played Germany, and that's Jeff and I were both there for that game. And then where were we at the after game?
That was the pint.
Okay, we're at the pint.
Oh, no, sorry. That was the post game.
Yeah, post game.
Yeah. was that Sherlock's.
Okay.
Sherlock's pub.
Sherlock's pub.
Okay,
yeah.
So at Sherlock's there, and then all of a sudden in walks Tom Pfaff. And you could just see the guys there that were also Edmonton supporters, all of a sudden their faces all just lit up. Right. So, I mean, usually or not usually, very often the relationship between the supporters and the ownership group is one of this kind of acrimony where the supporters just don't think the owners are doing what they need to be doing. That seems to be the exact opposite in Edmonton. Can you talk about what you guys think of Tom Pfaff as an owner?
You know, we love him as an owner, actually. You know, we love the fact that, you know, he just wanted to bring a soccer team back into Edmonton. And, you know, with 5 years, I guess it's the longest team that's actually survived.
Yeah.
Well, it says a lot about the support that he's giving it, obviously, because he's obviously backing it solidly.
He is,
because
he
otherwise
is.
It might have folded by now, maybe.
It might have. And, you know, we know he's probably losing a bit of money from it, but he just wants to keep it alive. He wants to keep it strong. And he just wants to keep going. You know, he's just confident in the future and he's confident of the growth, you know. I know the sport's definitely, you know, a bit more popular in this country than it has been before.
Would you say that Tom Pfaff is the classic example of the rich man's hobby soccer owner?
I guess you can say that, yeah.
That's interesting because, yeah, I mean, I just can't conceive how he could be making money off FC Edmonton.
I don't know either.
Because, I mean, they play at Clark.
Yes.
Which is city-owned.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably doesn't even make money off concessions.
No. And then, of course, those new stands that he brought in, too.
Yeah, new stands. Probably. I mean, they sell some merch at the games. I mean, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of – here's a quick story I have. It was one of the matches in the spring season, and it just happened to be a really cold, blustery day. And it was so cold. All I had on was my black Adidas Sass soccer sweater. And I ended up going over to the merch tents and buying a blue FC Edmonton hoodie simply to wear over top of what I was wearing to stay warm. You know? So like I think he's kind of got the unique merch market where, you know, if they have the right merch in the right places, they could sell a bunch of it just because people have to survive in Edmonton. So, you know, I mean,
that's good marketing, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I should tweet that over to him or email him and be like, here's a story of how your merch can
help. That's right. Climate specific merchandising. It's very, very intelligent.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it gets pretty damn cold up here.
Oh, man. Like, it was so brutal in the stands that one game. I just couldn't believe how cold it was. So we kind of talked about how things are set up with FCE. They've signed Miller again for 3 years. And then we mentioned, you know, that he signed the staff back, one of them being Jeff Paulus. And he's the head of the academy right now, isn't he?
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, so can you talk just a little bit about FC Edmonton's academy, some of the news that you've heard about it, and sort of just your thoughts on its creation and what they might be able to do with that? Without saying handsome bow tie less than five times.
Well, we got to get to him eventually anyway, but
yeah, he's definitely the hot topic around here. You know, I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to the academy, actually. I haven't been to too many games, so I'm not too sure what much I could really say. I know that they did sign a goalkeeper. You know, it sucks, I forgot his name. But they did sign a goalkeeper out from the academy just recently. Yeah, I'm not too sure what I could say about the academy right now at the moment.
Okay.
You know, since Jeff mentioned Hanson Boakai, we may as well segue into that because, of course, every Canadian supporter is just waiting for this guy to break out, I guess. He maybe kind of already has a little bit, but can you talk first about, you know, where you see some of the other Canadians on the squad and what they're doing next year, and then finish it off maybe with what you think Hanson Boakai is going to end up doing next year?
Well, as far as our Canadian boys is concerned, you know, John Smits, he's had a pretty good season, actually. I know he's been favored to, you know, possibly get a call up on the squad.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've all been looking at him. He's been doing a pretty good job, actually. So one day I hope to see him up there in his senior squad.
How old is he now? Do you know? He's older than 23, right? Like, he'd be beyond our U23s.
He's 25, actually.
Okay, yeah, so he's senior for sure.
Yes, yeah. And even Edward, actually, his name's been filmed in there as well, actually.
Huh.
Yeah, it's not like we have a lot of right-back options.
No.
Right? On the men's national team is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah. So, yeah, I know Smits and Edwards are the two favorites they like to see come up. And, of course, Handsome Bowtie, what people like to call him.
Yeah. I wonder who the first one that coined that was. That's pretty funny. It's pretty punny, too.
I think it was Lord Bob.
It was
actually.
Ben.
Was it Ben?
Ben Massey?
Okay, I'm not surprised if it was.
Not surprised, yeah.
The first time I've seen that Handsome Bowtie was through him, actually. So, yeah, I think it was him.
Has he managed to get out to Edmonton and join you guys for a match yet in the ESG? Do you know?
No.
Bummer. Well, we'll have to have a talking to him
actually,
about that.
Wait, no, I lied. Last season, actually, was the Amway Championship against Vancouver. He came down for that one, actually. Yeah, that's the only time I've seen him.
Well, yeah. We all know that he's a part-time fan, so.
Yeah, part-time.
Why are we even talking about him? Okay, Dallas, finish it off with Hanson Boakai. I mean.
I got one.
Oh.
Don't get presumptuous,
okay,
Rob.
Finish off my question about Hanson Boakai. Jeez, now I'm saying it. Hanson Boakai.
Yeah.
Well, do you think he's going to end up making the move to Europe next year? Or do you think he's going to play a couple years in Edmonton? Where do you see his trajectory taking him?
I would like to see him play here for a couple years, actually, just to see what he can do, you know, just to kind of see him break out with us and just do his magic. And then if he goes to Europe after that, then good for him, right?
Yeah.
I know he's not quite a starter yet. I don't know if it maybe it's just a fitness thing. I'm not quite sure. But whenever I see him, getting subbed on, I could say in his 60th minute or something like that, you know, sometimes he just completely changes the atmosphere of the game. You know, he's like a really exciting kid to watch.
Yeah, we've all seen that with him in the under-17s and in the mm-hmm. Voyageurs Cup too. He dominated mm-hmm. a couple of those games. That was unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And you know what? That's going to take me to the first of two questions I got. So on a scale from 1 to Nazi war criminal hunters, how much do you guys despise Montreal now?
Well, for me personally, I never really hated Montreal, but after the Amway, it just bothers me seeing him in the Champions League, you know? I'm not saying we would have made it, you know, but it would have been nice to be in that final.
Yeah. Or how about Drew Fisher, I think, was the ref, wasn't it?
Should I get started with him?
Yeah, go for it. You know what? Do it. Do it a little bit. Let's hear it. What do you guys – have you guys had Drew since? Has he ever been allowed to ref a match in Edmonton since? Have you guys had him, do you know?
He was a fourth official once.
Oh.
And so he was on the other side, thankfully, because I was just screaming. I was the first one to scream, you know, Montreal screw job and how much of Saputo's money he has left in his bank account. And it was just brutal. You know, it's
– I will say that I was like watching that game. I was sitting on the couch, edge of the couch, because Montreal was going to do it. And then that free kick gets called. And, man, that handball has to go down as, yeah, the greatest screwjob call against any Canadian pro soccer team in the history of ever. That was so brutal.
It was a dagger. It was a dagger. And
where were you guys? Where were you guys watching that?
We were at the Pint, actually.
Oh, man.
And it's actually a funny story because there was NHL playoffs going on at the Pint with Montreal and Boston. And here is us in the back room. We're screaming. Obviously, first we were cheering when we came back, right? And people are just like walking in like, what the hell is going on in there, you know? And then, once that phantom ham ball, I guess you could say, or shoulder ball, you know, it was just chaos. I felt like I was going to throw my pint at the TV, you know, but I know there was just a lot of swearing and just freaking out. And, you know, again, people were looking like, what the hell is going on, you know, but it still bothers me to this day, you know, and we were so close. And And I will never understand the 6 added minutes either. That was just, it was stupid.
Hey, second question is, who do you guys consider your greatest rival within NASL? We asked the same question to the pair that we had on for the Ottawa segment. Who's Edmonton's big rival? Who do you guys simply just despise?
Who do we despise?
And you can say Montreal, even though they're Voyager's Cup competition only. But
geez, that's really hard to say. You know, I know we've had Minnesota, but it wasn't really a hated rivalry. We always had that Flyover Cup, which kind of died. We talked about Ottawa as a rival, but that's just a Canadian rival, right? So I mean, I guess we're too friendly to have a hated rivalry. Oh my God.
What about Fort Lauderdale?
I know some of their games have been pretty chippy, actually.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've actually met some of their players. They're some of the nicest guys.
That always sucks, doesn't it?
It does.
I wish them to just be the biggest douches.
It makes it harder to hate them, that's for sure.
Although the one team we're always excited to play the most is Carolina. Not just because, you know, we've had their number all year, but it's just we've had the goalkeeper's number. You know, that this is a guy that last season had fired back at us. Trying to throw a water bottle at us when they tied the game. You know, he's like slapping the crest and, you know, responding to us as we're picking on the poor guy, right? So it's always fun when he kind of comes to town. And, you know, we've been getting him the same treatments, you know, way more than some of the other goalkeepers that come by, right? You know, we're always kind of just giving him more of a hard time. And it's been pretty fun considering the fact we beat him 6-1, you know, at the end of the spring season, and we beat him again. So it's...
So it's almost towards a single player rather than a specific...
More of a single player than a specific team, yeah. Because I don't think we have a hated team right now at the moment. But, yeah, I guess you could say... Well, I wouldn't really say we hate Fitzy. You know, he's a good goalkeeper. But just the fact that he fired back at us, and so we give him a hard time. Fun times, actually. It's actually funny because when he tied the game, he walked up to us. He's like... Yeah, what? No, but besides slapping his crest, he slaps the Adidas logo instead, which is really hilarious.
Well, you know what you know what he's really committed to then.
Yeah. Adidas, maybe? Yeah, apparently. Maybe some marketing thing? Maybe, I don't know.
A little bit of a kickback going on there or something, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But I really hated rivalry would be nice to have for a change. You know, maybe if Calgary gets a team, maybe so. But at the moment, we don't really have a hated team that's, you know... Not in the NASL, you know. You could say Montreal, but that's, yeah. Maybe in the championships, that'll be our hated team at the moment.
For sure, for sure. Maybe it's time for some mass ESG away trips or something. Maybe a big away trip to Ottawa can spark something there.
Yeah, we've always had talks about that. You know, like we've been to Vancouver, you know. For a Canadian championship, but that's because it's close. I mean, you know, when it comes to NASL map, we're way the hell up there north. So any kind of road trip is going to be an expensive one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. I mean, now the talk that just came out at the beginning of this week is talking about the potential that there could be an NASL side happening in Toronto.
Yes. Actually, I just read about that a couple hours ago, actually.
Yeah. It's pretty fresh. And I know Dwayne Rollins out east there has been tweeting about it quite a bit. And there was a huge, huge, huge discussion that I took part in over Twitter just talking about, you know, how could this happen? Where would it be based? And it seems the consensus would be somewhere in York. So, I mean, obviously that would be an easy natural one for Ottawa. So you guys are still sort of left out. I think you guys just have to hope and pray that that Foothills moves from PDL to NASL sooner rather than later.
Yes, I would hope so, because it'd just be nice to have some good, strong away support for a change, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not, like, outside the NASL, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And that brings us to the end of our NASL wrap-up. Big thanks to Ryan and Kendra and Dallas for joining us. Great to get their input. We'll be back with another episode soon, so until then, take care.